To all the ladies, I take some time and forgive the men. I wanna hear you say, oh yeah, oh yeah. If you wanna make a change in your life, gotta become a better man. Take a bow and sing with me. I will survive.
91.3 FM.
It is Joe Mansinanga, WHP, RFM, feel the power on the hour. Hala front.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
Lawmaker calls for temporary closure of UNSA following student death. More stakeholders react to the suspension of exercise and VAT. In international news, South Africans react to fuel prices surge despite tax relief. And in sports news, record 10 African nations qualified for expanded 2026 World Cup.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable news every day, my name is Suwilanje Mulenga. Kana Member of Parliament Binwam Pundu has called for the immediate closure of the University of Zambia, UNSA, Great Destroyed Campus, following the death of a student who reportedly fell into an open trench. Mr. Mpundu said the institution should be temporarily shut down to allow authorities to address ongoing sanitation works and ensure the safety of students. The call follows the death of Emmanuel Walia, who is alleged to have fallen into a trench excavated by the Zambia National Service during sanitation upgrades at the campus. The lawmaker has since urged President Hakainde Hichilema to intervene, stating that continued operations amid the ongoing works pose a danger to student lives.
My memory is still very alive to a time when I served as district commissioner for Kitwe, when one of our institutions in Kitwe had a similar challenge as what is happening at UNSA, dilapidated sanitary infrastructure. But what I remember also is that during that time of renovations, the school had to be temporarily closed to allow for the works to be done. It is in that spirit that I make this demand and a call to the president that the University of Zambia must be closed. Because how else do we guarantee the safety of our students when these works are going on and more trenches are going to be excavated? It is only prudent and fair to demand that the school be temporarily closed to allow for authorities to attend to these challenges that have emerged at this important institution.
And the police in Lusaka have confirmed the death of Emmanuel Walia, who died yesterday after falling into an open pit believed to be filled with sewage water. The incident occurred on March 31st, 2026, around 21 hours, the development that prompted riots among students. Police spokesperson Godfrey Chilabi confirmed the preliminary investigations indicate that Walia accidentally fell into the pit and subsequently drowned. According to Mr. Chilabi, the Zambia National Service personnel recovered the body and rushed it to Levi Mwanawasa University Teaching Hospital, where he was pronounced dead upon arrival. The body has been placed in the hospital's mortuary, pending a post-mortem examination. An inquiry has been launched to determine the exact circumstances of the incident, and an investigation file has been opened. President Hakainde Hichilema yesterday convened an emergency meeting with key government ministries and University of Zambia management to address ongoing sanitation challenges affecting the higher learning institutions. In another development, Energy expert engineer Boniface Zulu says government's recent decision to suspend excise duty and zero rate VAT on petrol and diesel for 3 months, April to June 2026, is temporal, describing it as a technical adjustment and a protective measure against global fuel market turbulence. Engineer Zulu highlights that the intervention acts as a smart emergency brake to prevent fuel prices from spiraling out of control while also buying the country valuable time. However, he emphasizes that this is not a permanent solution. According to him, Zambia's real energy challenge can only be addressed by developing a diversified and resilient energy system that can shield citizens from global shocks and support sustainable growth. He further explains that disruptions in supply chains caused by ongoing conflicts in the Middle East, combined with the recent slight weakening of the kwacha against the US dollar, have added more pressure on local fuel pump prices. He further highlights that without cabinet intervention, April's pump prices would have been significantly higher, with adverse ripple effects on the cost of living. He states that by removing VAT and excise duty, government has effectively stripped away parts of the cost structure, ensuring that consumers pay less than they would have been spending. In another development, the International Institute of Tropical Agriculture, IITA, has officially inaugurated its soybean seed breeding facility at the Southern Africa Research and Administration Hub, SARA, in Ngorere, Lusaka, Zambia. This groundbreaking facility is the first of its kind in sub-Saharan Africa, representing a significant advancement in agriculture research and innovation. By reducing breeding cycles in controlled environments, the facility aims to accelerate the development and release of higher yield, climate-resilient soybeans, varieties tailored to local conditions. This initiative will enhance seed systems and improve farmers' access to quality seeds. During the inauguration, Mr. Louise Chukopela, Assistant Director of Agriculture Services at the Ministry of Agriculture, highlighted that developing new soybean varieties has traditionally taken between 6 to 8 years. Speaking on behalf of the Ministry's Director, Dr. Chizumba Shepande, Mr. Chukopela emphasized that this prolonged timeline hampers farmers' access to improved technologies. He stated that the establishment of the speed breeding facility has changed the narrative.
Partners who in the past were called donors, but now we recognize them as development partners. They are really partners in development and not donors. These are sent to the hospital for blood donors. As government, we remain committed to supporting initiatives that enhance productivity, strengthen value chains, and remove the livelihoods and improve the livelihoods of our farmers. Allow me to conclude by reaffirming that investment in research and innovation such as these are critical to achieving sustainable agricultural transformation. I congratulate IITA and the partners for this incredible milestone on the soybean speed board breeding facility. So on the speed, I've added a board so that we're reminded that it's a speed board indeed in terms of research.
In another development, Jeff Ellers, a representative for the Gates Foundation, which partners with IITA on the project, underscored the foundation's commitment of ensuring the project benefits small-scale farmers by developing crop varieties that adapt to the specific environments.
Strategic crop, especially as we see the need for protein sources for animal food, especially for chickens and fish. So we really want to support the smallholder sector to provide soybeans, and to do that most efficiently, smallholders need varieties that are specifically adapted to their conditions and their preferences. And so we made this investment with IITA in soybean breeding program to create new varieties that are climate adapted, and to do this in a very fast way. And that's why we supported this investment in building a speed breeding facility, but we're also supporting other elements to move the breeding program faster to deliver the varieties to smallholder needs.
Soybean is a vital crop in Zambia, playing a crucial role in household nutrition, livestock feed, and agro-industrial development. The new facility is expected to boost yield potential and expedite varietal development, aligning with the Zambian government's objectives to enhance soybean production and support broader goals related to agricultural growth, food security and industrial development. In international news, Cubans were relieved on Tuesday to learn